Good morning. Always honored to do that. Thank you all for coming. And today we're going to be talking about cross-platform mobile web development. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different tact on this today, because one of the spaces that I'm really interested in cross-platform mobile web technologies is the fact that, you know, sort of controlling a few of the more native things. So making hybrid apps, making apps feel like they're meant to be on the platform. Okay, because you're in the Windows Phone track, we're all told to mention you should join the Windows Phone Australian Developer Community. Is everyone signed up for that? You're all interested in Windows Phone? Come on, raise your hand, you've got to stretch a bit. Yep, so a fair few people. You can also put your hands up if you feel like stretching as well. That's okay. So yeah, join up to that and you get the number of benefits, including like your first year of the Windows Store subscription. And also you get newsletters just to let you know about community events and what's going on. So it's a good thing to stay up to date. So the agenda today of what I'm going to be talking about, the first thing is getting to know IE10. So the biggest thing to me that's happened with Windows Phone 8 is, of course, IE10. And if you're using web technology, especially on Windows Phone, you'll know that IE10 is so much better, right? Has anyone actually tried to make a web app in Windows Phone 7? Come on, be honest. All right, two people. How'd it go? Just shake or nod? Shaking, looking over there, kind of. Really, you got a kind of? That's pretty optimistic, I think. It wasn't a good experience, right? So the reason was there was, you know, no touch events, there was not much HTML5, it was just really not ready. I believe Telerik actually refused to support Windows Phone 7. But that's okay, because Windows Phone 8 is here, and that support is definitely coming along. So I'm going to revisit or just touch on the web versus native sort of story, debate, whatever you want to call it, and maybe just provide a little bit of guidance about that, because I think the debate will rage, sort of long after I retire. And also, let's have a look at the cross-platform tools. So today I'm going to be focusing on PhoneGap and Cordova. So same sort of thing. One is just owned by Adobe. And then we're going to look at the build and deployment story. So we learned about how to build our apps, we've learned about PhoneGap, and then, you know, what do we do for build and deployment? Download for your device. All right, come on, you have to be honest. Raise your hands if you've been to a website and you've experienced this, right? It's pretty sad, isn't it, right? See, sad face. So this is what we want to fix, right? Hopefully that's why everyone is here. When we go to a website and it says download for your device, hopefully using web technology and PhoneGap, we can fix that, right? We can actually make it available for your device, because it's not. I don't have those devices. So quick raise of hands, who does own a Windows phone? Yep. Who has iPhone or Android? You guys are the other. Oh, that's right, mate. All right, other wins. So why is PhoneGap good? Well, it's not just about supporting, you know, the two predominant platforms, but what about the ability to kind of easily support other platforms? And that's, you know, platforms of today and maybe platforms that, you know, we don't even know about yet. Could be a different project by then, but... Okay, so a few things that I found online. So this is just from that source down in the corner. So the Windows Phone shipments have surpassed BlackBerry. It's a little achievement, that's good. And it also has the largest year-over-year increase amongst the top five smartphone platforms, because Windows Phone is experiencing growth. That's another good thing. It's not winning yet, but it's a good thing. It's growing. Okay, so getting to know IE10. So IE10 is, you know, really the bread and butter if you're using web technology on Windows Phone. So what's changed? Well, I've got a semi-extract of this table. I don't expect you to, you know, squint and read it. I'm just going to point out some of the highlights on there. It's actually a little bit smaller on my screen. So some of the good things here. So we've got application cache at the top, web workers, HTML5 forms. I've left these two in here, say, touch events and pointer events, right? So I've left it in here because it's something to take note of. If you're developing even in PhoneGap for WebKit-based mobile browsers, and also IE10. IE10 has pointer events, right? So they're added there in version 10. Oops, I did actually highlight the column. But they don't have touch events. So you're going to have to use a library, like a jQuery library, or you know your code is going to have to compensate for there being a slight difference in that API. But you can still get the same kinds of information. That's okay. So CSS transitions down the bottom. So there's you know a lot of new stuff. This is, like I said, and it's an extract of the table of only the new stuff. And there's also one more. This one's slightly bigger. So still going, still keeps going. So we've got cause support, IndexedDB, and I've also left one down the bottom called remote debugging. And there is no tick for IE10 just yet. So if you're from Microsoft, IE mobile team, and you're listening to this, that's going to be a good feature. I want to see a tick there. But we do have tools to compensate for that. So yeah, a lot of good stuff has been added. If you want to know more about this table, the source is up the top, mobilehtml5.org, and that will let you know all the current state of a lot of the mobile browsers. Thought I'd start with a demo. It's a good way to start. And my computer's gone to sleep. Okay. Yeah. So let's start with the demo and let's have a look at the built-in HTML5 templates that come with the Windows Phone SDK. It's not great. It's very minimalistic, but I think it's sort of worth looking at and seeing what we can do with it. So I'm going to switch over to... Looks like a laptop. Okay, cool. All right. Windows Phone. Okay, HTML5 template. I'm just going to put that in a temporary directory. Yes, okay. Okay, so what does this guy actually do? Okay, so it's giving us a designer view, and the first thing we see is a whole load of XAML. That's great. But if we look at this, it's a very minimalistic Hello World page. And if we look at the CSS, it's just a little bit of stuff to scale the viewport. So there's nothing else there. And if we run it up, we would expect exactly the same thing. There's a little trick here, I promise. Emulator takes a little while to load, but not nearly as long as Android. Page title, Hello World. Okay, so if you deliver this to a user, the first thing they're going to do is they're probably going to start clicking and dragging around. They're like, oh, yeah, man, that's awesome. All right, I can drag your little web page. Oops, I just clicked out of it. I can drag your little web page around. All right, that doesn't really feel like it should be on the app. I mean, it doesn't feel like an app. It shouldn't really be there. There's also a native toolbar down here that comes implemented with it, but that toolbar is basically controlling the web browser control. So it's making it's making the app feel like a web page. So to stop that sort of dragging around, you can basically add one small CSS attribute. So you could add it to, say, the body. And there's a Microsoft extension called MS Touch Action. None. Okay, so if we add MS Touch Action None, you can basically start to control how the touch events interact with the elements on the page. So after we add in that, the touch events no longer work on the body. So we can't drag the web page around like it's a web page anymore. We can fix the actual size of the frame so it's starting to feel like an app on the device. So there's a whole bunch of those extensions that you can do, and there's also one so we can still highlight the text. Okay, so that still feels a little bit weird. There's also extensions that can turn the selection of the text off as well. So you can make it sort of feel like it's supposed to be there, but it's just using web technology. Is that useful? Having a look at the default template? It's useful. Yeah. back to slides. Yeah, okay. Mobi stickies. So this is what I decided to do with the default template. I'm like, I can do better than that. I'm sure I can make something that works with the default template and sort of make it into an app and publish it into the store. So that's exactly what I've done. I've taken the default template and I've made a sticky note app. So it's touch-based, you can drag them around the screen. And it did pass the certification process. So it is in the store. You don't have to type in the crazy GUID. You can just search for it via Mobi stickies if you want to have a play around with that. It only works on Windows Phone 8 because there is no touch events in Windows Phone 7. So let's have a look at how that is created. Okay, so we're going to extend the app that I've just created and make it into a sticky notes app. Yeah, I'm just going to flick back and forward again. Okay, so I did pre-record some of the typing for this last night, basically because I think it allows me to get through this a little bit quicker. Okay, so last night Brendan was having a look at this, and he said, okay, so we have the default template. And what we're going to do is I'm going to drag in a few resources in the most convoluted way you've ever seen. Okay, so I've dragged in some JavaScript libraries, some image assets, and a CSS folder into the wrong directory. Struggling a little bit, but that's okay. Okay, so the CSS file, maybe on the third attempt. Okay, so I've got that in there. Okay, so I've got some CSS files that support my sticky notes app. I've got some image assets, and I've also got the JavaScript files down the bottom. So I'm just going to take a second to explain as well. Has everyone heard of Reveal.js? Has anyone heard of that library, Reveal.js? So it's an HTML5 presentation library. So it basically does PowerPoint, but in HTML5 on the web. All right. So I've decided to include that in my sticky notes app to do some screen transitions. Sort of to my surprise as well, Reveal.js, it actually works on the smaller screen size. It already has the responsive ability to adapt down. So I'm going to replace this HTML as well. And there's all my libraries included. So this is what I was saying before. So the jQuery.event.move. So that's the library that can help normalize those touch events and the pointer events. Okay, I've got my sticky note manager, and I've just got a home bootstrapping file. So there's a little bit there. As you can see, there's two Reveal.js slides, and I've just got a little bit of markup to edit the sticky notes, just a few CSS hooks. So this is what it looks like. I've got a button up the top so that I can make my stickies, and I can drag them around. So it's using those pointer-based touch events. And I can change the color. Wow. That's cool. But I've still got this menu here. So what I want to do is I want to make a hybrid app. So I want to integrate with some of the native features, right? So I want to make this app feel like it was a sticky note app written in C#. So to do that, what I need to do is I just need to modify a little bit of XAML. And I'll show you how to do this in PhoneGap as well later. And it will basically in PhoneGap be supporting like JavaScript-driven development for native features. So to support this, I'm just going to make a toolbar, a click event. So I'm going to transition to the About screen, and I'm going to invoke a browser command, so browser.invokeScript. So I'm going to send a script command into the browser when this button is clicked. So I've got an evaluator function, so all that guy does is just evaluate the method that I'm passing in. And I'm using the Reveal.js library, and if you say reveal.write, it basically slides the slideshow to the right, so to the next screen. Okay, if you run that up, comment the toolbar out because we don't want that anymore. Okay, so now when I look at the menu, it's a native menu, and when I hit the About screen, I'm actually transitioning in my web app. But the back button still doesn't work. So when I hit back, I want it to go back to the previous screen. Fair enough. Okay, so that just requires hooking into a few more events. And I'm going to comment that guy out still. Okay, so in here, there's a whole bunch of things I don't need anymore, so we're not using those traditional browser buttons. Okay, get rid of those. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to when a script notify command is called. So this is when the web page has fired a JavaScript function back to the browser. So we can pick that up and we can basically inspect the value. So what I'm going to say is when the web page tells us, okay, so when it tells us that the back button starts or the event starts with, okay, back falses. Okay, I'm going to set a variable that says can slide false. Okay, make that into a field. And I'm also going to, when the JavaScript app tells us that we can go back, we're going to set the variable back to true. Okay, can slide back true. Okay, so all we need to do now is override the back button, and we can basically allow that to happen. So the HTML JavaScript is going to be controlling the functionality of the back button. And I think that's quite important. Okay, so what I'm going to say is when back is hit, I'm going to fire an event back that says, so my evaluator function, and I'm going to do reveal dot left. So we're going to go back to the first screen. And the most important thing is cancel the back, like the native back event, because we've done something in the HTML. Okay, so if we run that up, now I've got hit about, and now when I hit the back button, it transitions back to the previous screen. See, is that not a nicer experience? So, yeah, and that's using the default template. So the default template is not useless. It does sort of give you the ability to start to extend it and do those sorts of things. But that's not good enough. I've still got that button up the top that says, make sticky, all right? I don't want that. I want that guy to be in the native toolbar as well. Okay, so I'm going to add an add asset for the app bar, so it's just a little plus icon. I'm going to go back in here, and I'm going to hijack one of the original buttons. Okay, hijack this guy. I'm going to call it, okay, just need to modify the icon. And call that add. Yep, go across. I'm going to make a new event, so when you click this, I'm going to go to my delegate. Yep, and I think, cool. Okay, so when we're in here, we're going to fire another browser event, so browser.invoke script, so invoke some more code, and I'm going to say evaluator, which is the function that evaluates my JavaScript. Okay, did make a spelling mistake, but that's okay. Sticky manager.makeSticky is the function I want to call, so it's going to call that in my single page app. And this guy takes a JSON object, so I can modify what's on the initial content. Okay, so the content of the sticky note app is, okay, new sticky from code. Nah, not specific enough, from C# code. Okay, I'm just going to check back on the XAML file just to make sure I've done everything, and that should be named at. Oops, new. Okay, so now when I run that up, I should have my native toolbar for my sticky notes app. Okay, so I've got a new button. When I hit that, I get new stickies straight into the HTML5 app. There we go. You can add a few, see, from C# code. And remove. So the only thing to do now, I guess, is just remove the old button. And then I've got my first hybrid application. Okay, get rid of the old button. Okay, there it is, hybrid sticky notes app. And that does pass certification and it is in the App Store. Add stickies.
So that will run on any device?
So this one here, yeah, it runs on... Yeah, if I get back to the slides, I did actually write this in WinJS first and I ported it to Windows Phone 8. And then I ported it from there to other platforms as well. Because I initially wrote it as like just using like the Microsoft IE10 sort of stuff. But it wasn't hard to sort of make it a little bit more generic so that it did run everywhere. It's using all HTML5 stuff, so the sticky notes are stored in local storage, like it's using all web things. The reason why you can do things like this is because you're just invoking like script to call, you know, it's sort of invoking that script that the browser can pick up. I mean, if you put this on another platform in a native form, you'd have to sort of write those native functions yourself, like the hybrid integration. Using things like PhoneGap, it makes it a little bit more generic so that you can do it much more easily on other platforms. Like PhoneGap provides that plugin framework for you. So the next demo, we basically take what we have here and I'll show you how to transform that into a PhoneGap plugin. So yeah, you can have the bulk of your app as like all HTML5 and JavaScript views, and then you can just write those sort of native integration points to sort of, you know, really make it feel like it belongs on the device. Is there any other questions? Sorry.
I was just going to ask about how do you save the state, like you mentioned local storage.
Yeah, so this one's...
Just to see where that's happening.
Yeah, sure, we can dig into that. Just finish off this demo. Okay, so that one's pretty much done. Actually, we might come back to it when we do the PhoneGap one. But yeah, it is just using local storage. Okay, let's switch back over to the slides. Okay, so that's sticky notes on Windows Phone 8. And like I just mentioned as well, I did make an app originally called Collage Board on WinJS and Windows 8. So that's the same sticky note manager class running on IE10 on Windows 8. So even though it's still IE10 on both platforms, there are some quite subtle limitations and very, very subtle differences. But the majority of things still just work. And that's also made it through certification into the store. And this one also does photos. Okay, so web versus native. I think this is quite an important sort of topic to brush on or revisit from time to time. Okay, so this is my experience. So what if we want a native experience? So what I've done is I've put native at the top of the curve, right? So I think native is a thing that you're always sort of striving to achieve. When you make an app that's going to run on a mobile device, the best experience that user can have on that platform is a native app. And I don't think there's really a question about that. So if you go and make a mobile website, I don't think you can quite get there. Right, so there's things like some performance limitations. You're running in a browser. Like there's just things that happen that make that experience just a little bit less than what native could be. So I think with hybrid apps, we actually climb a little bit further towards native, right? So we can integrate with some of the native things on the platform. So the menus. Has anyone heard of a library called NimbleKit? I think that was like an iOS library. I really wish there was actually one similar for Windows Phone. If there is, I'm not aware of it. So what it actually allowed you to do was it was a sort of like a PhoneGap type of library, but it sort of allowed you to programmatically make the UI in JavaScript, right? So when you said new NimbleKit button, it would actually make a native button. So it was a really interesting library, and it was actually bought up by Accenture Touch. The hybrid experience kind of gets us a little bit closer because we can integrate with the device. PhoneGap, obviously, you get access to more of the hardware, but you're still suffering some of the performance things. If you emulate the theme, so if you emulate, the Windows Phone 7 theme, maybe next version, Microsoft says, no, we need a UI, overhaul or subtle UI differences. So all of a sudden, all those, you know, those apps that are emulating that theme, they don't look native anymore. All right, and this happens all over the web with people making, you know, like iPhone apps. They're using the iOS 3 theme, you know, with the stripy background. Right, they haven't used that for a while now. And also, there's another big UI overhaul coming as well, right? Which is going with all the flat UI. So everyone that's emulating those themes, they're not going to look native anymore. So there's always kind of that constant struggle to be native. But I don't think it'll ever get there. I think these points, they won't move around much. They might kind of, you know, oscillate on that line a little bit, but they're never going to converge. They're never going to meet. So that's one of the things that we have to deal with. So what can we do about it? I mean, what can we do about this, you know, this theming issue, and how can we sort of strive to get a little bit closer? I think one of the good ideas that's out there in the industry, or sort of coming into the industry now, is this idea of like a uniform theme. So this is an example from Telerik, something new that they're introducing into, I believe it's Kendo UI. So it's sort of saying, well, don't try to emulate the theme. Maybe try to, you know, bring in some of your stronger branding, or, you know, a theme that looks nice for your app, and sort of make that a little bit consistent across your apps on all platforms. I have made apps in the past where, depending on the device, it kind of detected the OS, and I applied a different style sheet to make it look native. But again, like, you're emulating the theme. I do like the idea of using uniform themes just to give your app that consistency across platform. But you're also, you know, helping to circumvent the problem of when the platform target essentially shifts, that your app's not going to, you know, stick out like a sore thumb. Okay, so one of the most important tools if you're interested in PhoneGap is Node.js. Pretty sure I mentioned this. I've mentioned this in the past few talks that I've done, that you should go and start to have a look at Node.js. Well, now you have to go and have a look at Node.js, because there's a lot of tools now that just depend on it, right? So Cordova version 3 has a command line interface that requires Node.js. Okay, so that's going to be a good thing to go and have a look at. There's a great little Windows installer. You don't have to do anything. You just download it, double-click it, and it installs. So there's no issue trying to get that on. And then it turns out that the easiest way to install Cordova, so PhoneGap, is to use Node Package Manager. And how do you do that? I have some code. So you just say npm, which is Node Package Manager, abbreviated. Node Package Manager install -g just means globally, otherwise it puts it in, I don't know, like a user directory or something. Node Package Manager install Cordova, and it'll go and check the Node repository and drag down all the appropriate packages. So if you're familiar with NuGet, I mean, it's not out of this world. So then it gives you all these like bootstrapping and scaffolding utilities. So if you want to make a new app, so if I want to make a new Hello World app, then I can just say Cordova create in the Hello directory, a hello.world app. The thing that I've found is that you have to be sort of careful with these namespaces. So Windows Phone is generally pretty forgiving. If you just want to call your app, you know, Hello World as one world, that's fine. As one word, that's fine. But on Android, it says, oh, you can't have a namespace with one segment because it's at risk of collisions. So yeah, I mean, there is like a little bit of a few things to consider when you want, you know, want to add other platforms about what those namespaces should look like. So maybe that's a problem that's actually not quite solved. So to add a new platform, it's also really easy. You just say Cordova platform add Windows Phone 8, and that's going to go drag down the Windows Phone platform and expand it into the correct directory. If you want to build it, same sort of thing. You just call build. And if you want to start the emulator, they've done that too. You just say Cordova emulate Windows Phone 8, and it will boot up the Windows Phone emulator and chuck your app inside and start it up. So it's the same as like using the Visual Studio tools. There's also another one called Cordova Run Windows Phone 8. So if you have your device plugged in, it'll put it on the device. Okay, so that's one. That's an introduction to the Cordova commands. So what about the features? And this is a concept that seems to be emerging as well, which is mobile first. And it seems to be a trend that's catching on the internet as well. So what is mobile first? So I've got some good presentations, links down the bottom. There's also a book. And this presentation is sort of a good one by Luke W. I think you've done it a fair few times. But mobile first is kind of this concept of thinking and designing apps starting with the mobile. So it's when, for example, a company comes up and, you know, they've got a website and they've got 50 features on the front page. And then they go and write a mobile app and there's 5 features on the, you know, on the home screen of the mobile app. How did they decide, or who decided what those 5 most important features were? So this mobile first is actually saying, well, you know, scrap that. Let's actually start by thinking about, you know, what the 5 most important features are and kind of expand out from that. So it lets us really think about, you know, what the most important features are first, which makes sense. And it allows us to expand to larger devices such as tablet and desktop. So this, you know, this affects us because if we're making things on the phone, then with PhoneGap, you know, you're probably going to want to be supporting things like tablets with, you know, which the screen is larger. And these days, it's not that much difference between a tablet and a laptop. I mean, that line seems pretty blurry these days. So mobile first is also catching on in frameworks. Mobile first frameworks. Twitter Bootstrap 3 is considered a mobile first framework. So what they've done is essentially merged the responsive.css into the main CSS. So now you can actually build those mobile views first and kind of expand up. And one of the other quite popular ones is Zurb. So is it Zurb Foundation? I do like Bootstrap more, but yeah, there's another one. There's also one I've found that I didn't have time to get into the slides, which is called topcoat.io. And that's by Adobe as well. It's sort of a very sort of minimalistic little framework. If you don't want sort of much to contend with, you know, you just want the buttons and the touch-friendly controls.
Are these open source?
Those ones, yes, they're all open source. And I believe Topcoat is also open source. Okay, so what tools? So I mentioned before about the debugging story on Windows Phone. It's not maybe as good as you'd like. Okay, there's also a tool called Winery, if that's correct. So Winery, so what it does is you run it up. It's a little server that runs in Node. And again, it's another Node tool. It's a little server that runs in Node. And it basically gives you this emulated, like a WebKit style inspector in the browser. So they built all that. Like that's their app. I mean, it's not part of the browser. That's the tool that they built. So it really looks like the WebKit inspector, but that's going to run inside your Windows Phone app, and you can basically inspect the DOM, look at the logs. You can do a whole bunch of stuff. So that's going to be like a really good tool if you actually need to debug your app inside Windows Phone. You'll want Winery. Yeah. So how do you install it, you ask? Good question. With Node. Node Package Manager, install globally Winery. So after you do that, you'll get the command, and you can basically start a little server, and then you can get your app to connect to it. Oh, yeah. So down the bottom, I've got a link to the documentation as well. You can probably grab that off the slides at a later date. Okay, so Mobi stickies with Cordova. So I've written it using the default template, the built-in one that comes with Visual Studio, which really doesn't give you much. But the more interesting thing definitely is making things work with Cordova. So it's going to do a lot of the things like facilitating, you know, making sure that code is in the different platforms. It's going to make sure that we have that plugin infrastructure. It's going to do a whole lot of good things. So what I'm going to do is we'll switch over, okay, to a demo of a Cordova app. Just give me a sec. Number 2. Okay. So I'm starting with a console in a folder, and I'm going to type in some of these commands. Okay, so Cordova create, okay, Mobi stickies. Mobi stickies, and I'm going to say Mobi.stickies just so I've got 2 segments in the namespace. Okay, so once I've done that, it's made a folder. That's good. And if we have a look inside there, that's the default structure that it gives you. So the root www folder is, you know, it's where the default project is, but that guy will also get copied into all the platforms. So at a platform, we don't start with any. So if we want to add one, we just use the Cordova utility again. So this is with Cordova and Node install. As we say, Cordova platform add Windows Phone 8. Oops, and I actually need to go inside the folder where the Cordova app is. Okay, inside Mobi Stickies, try that again. And there it is. So it's just extracted out the default Windows Phone template for us. Okay, so if I wanted to add one for Android, then I can do exactly the same thing. Cordova platform add Android. But to get that to work, you do have to remember that I had to go and install the Android SDK and then Java and then Ant, and then add those to the class path. It all got weird. Okay, but it makes the command nice and simple. Okay, so clear that. And what we can do is build it. So that's going to copy those files into the appropriate directories for us. And then if I run Cordova emulate, Okay, Cordova emulate Windows Phone 8. And that's going to pop up the emulator for us. So the commands are really not hard, and you're sort of typing them fairly repetitively, so they're really not that hard to learn either. Okay, so the question was, can it emulate the iOS platform? Yes, but not on Windows. and I guess that's why you get sort of that segmentation of saying Cordova emulate Windows Phone 8, because you can sort of work with one platform at a time. So because you can install the Android, development environment on both Windows and Mac, then, you know, you can kind of maybe do that one anywhere, but essentially, once you boot it over to your Macintosh, you could do the same sort of thing. So because I have the Windows Phone emulator installed, I'm just going to try that. Okay, so I've run emulate, and that's throwing up the app for me. It's bootstrapped it inside and installed it, but I still get that weird sort of, you know, dragging problem. I do get the impression that the default Windows Phone template in Cordova needs a little bit of help. Okay, so I'm just going to delete the files that come with it. And I'm going to drag in my sticky notes app. Okay, so there it is. Let's run that up in Cordova. Okay, I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to build it. And run. Emulate Windows Phone 8. So here we go. Okay, so remember, I'm not going to have that native toolbar at the bottom, basically because I haven't done that yet. So I do have my create button at the top, and everything is working as you'd expect, because it's, you know, it's just an HTML5 app, right? Yeah, so very good. Okay, so I've got my platforms there. So let's have a look at the project. So it's extracted this out. It's copied those in as we'd expect. So we don't have to do that. And I guess if you're integrating with the build server, you could do the same sort of thing. The Android project structure, I'm a little bit unfamiliar with, but let's go up. So they're in assets. Okay, some stuff in there. Looks like it's still got some of the old things as well. Okay, never mind. All right. Plugins. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is let's open this guy up. So the good thing here is that if you're running this locally, you can actually open up those templates and edit them. And those changes won't get overridden because it's only the www folder that's getting copied into the different platforms. So if we want to do that native integration and we want to extend it with a plugin, we can actually just go in there and extend the, you know, or add a command which has that plugin installed. So they've given you a base command, which is sort of that base infrastructure. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop in my native @bar command. So it's just a little bit of code here. I'm going to interact with the page in the toolbar, and I'm going to call the create button. So the thing here is The public methods on here are callable from JavaScript. That's the infrastructure that it gives you. So all I have to do is call my native button command and create button from the JavaScript code, and it'll inject the parameters for me. So it does all of those, all of that sort of scaffolding for me. Okay, so I've got one there for creating a menu item and capturing the back button, and also sort of sending the click event back. So this is, I think, a lot more of a generic way of doing what I did at the start. So the other thing you do you have to do if you write a plugin is you have to declare it so that PhoneGap will let you load it, so a bit of a permission thing. So you have to say feature, okay, native app bar command, and then you just have to specify that it's a package for Windows Phone. So as you sort of implemented it in other platforms, you can add that in as well. Yeah, so give it native app bar command. Okay, so let's have a look inside. Okay, so there's the JavaScript call that I'm using, so appbar.addItem. And if we go into the code, scroll down, so it's using, so it's a slightly different API call, but I'm sort of proxying that in my own sort of JavaScript class to tie those together. And if I go into that, so here it is, that's the guy that we're looking for, so Cordova.execute. And that's the guy that sort of fires that out and invokes the plugin. You give it a callback, so when the plugin's finished running, you can basically call back to JavaScript with the result. You can pass it a whole bunch of, or any sort of parameter that you want that's a string. Okay, so I'm deserializing that string and handling that appropriately. And that could be, you know, just adding to the app bar on the page. So you could do that even in Android or, you know, other platforms as well. Okay, so up the top. Yep, so they're my delegates for handling that callback. Okay, so if we build that and run it, then we should have the app bar down the bottom. Okay, emulate Windows Phone 8. Go. That's the thing about emulators, they're always a little bit slow. Okay, so there it is, the Cordova app bar at the bottom of the page. Yay. And then we can use the adding add button as well. So that's all now powered from JavaScript. So it's not hard-coded like I did before in the XAML. I can basically keep calling that add button command, and it would just keep adding those commands at the bottom, like add actual buttons from JavaScript. So the library I sort of mentioned before, like NibbleKit, it's kind of getting at that concept, and I quite like it. So I could also call build Cordova build Android if I was game, and Cordova emulate Android, and then what we'd expect would be the Android emulator window would show up eventually, but I don't know when that guy's going to load, so I'm just going to minimize that for next year. So, yeah, that's it. I'm sure, I think it's doing stuff. Maybe. It's thinking about it. We'll have a follow-up session next year. Okay, so there we go. Get back to slides. So is that useful? Come on. Cordova plugin. Has anyone written a Cordova plugin before? No, so you've all learned something, right? Yes, come on. We've written a Cordova plugin. So we've actually made a web app have some native features. That's really good. Okay, so how can we take advantage of other native controls? Okay, so your app doesn't have to look like a web app. And there's a whole bunch of things out there that allows you to not do that. Okay, so the first one is there's actually our JavaScript HTML panorama libraries. You know, toggle switches are quite common. There's buttons, you know, obviously there's buttons with all the touch events. And there's also the responsive grids that are going to help us sort of scale, you know, our app to different sizes. So I have a few more demos of those two things too. This is not going to take long. Okay, so over here, this is just some other projects that I was working on as well. Okay, so if I go into a different directory, this is also a wrapped in or put over project. Okay, so I'm just going to emulate that guy to load him up. And this is something I was experimenting around with a bit earlier, around having like a panorama inside an HTML5 app. So this is a free library that I've found online. Okay, so this is a Jirandle JS app running inside a Cordova app running on Windows Phone. So there's that sort of panorama action. You can drag it left and right, so it's got all those abilities. Okay, it sort of has that snapping motion after it sort of reaches that threshold. And if we say, just add a bunch of tasks in there, it can scroll the columns as well. I think that gives it a little bit more of a native look and feel, depending on the platform. Okay, so there's another app. So I mentioned before about that topcoat.io library. So I took their demo app and I chucked it inside of Cordova, the www folder, and I compiled it. And that guy runs up fine too. So the thing I thought sort of fine about a lot of the libraries is they're all written for WebKit-based browsers, and not everything is actually 100% compatible with IE10, because it is a little bit different, but it's good to have that competition. So not everything works as well as you'd expect, but this one doesn't look too bad. So there's probably a few extra CSS commands that are specific to IE10 that could sort of turn off those click selections and things like that. But this guy sort of gives you that neat little framework to sort of scroll back and forwards. Still goes up and down, but maybe that's okay. It's giving some lock segments in a scrolling list. Yeah, but in general, like it's a neat little library. Cool. All right, I'm going to end that guy there. Okay, so there's definitely controls out there, and there's also, definitely a lot from component vendors that, will help you plug a lot of those gaps. Okay, so build and deployment. And this is always interesting. It's always an interesting story to have. Okay, so build and deployment. So probably the best thing about Cordova having a command line interface is it makes it really easy to automate and build from anywhere. So you can basically say Cordova build, Cordova emulate, and Cordova run on any of those platforms, if you have the right environment, and that'll just work. So you could do that from, say, a build server as long as the tools are installed, and you could sort of get those automated builds happening quite easily. The other way to do it is, of course, we've all heard about, the PhoneGap build service. So it works with GitHub. You can even sign in with your GitHub account now. But it does have a few caveats. So if you're going to write a lot of plugins, you need to get the plugins approved with the PhoneGap build service, and when they are approved, they are available to everyone. So the PhoneGap build service kind of has a few drawbacks, in my opinion, with that. But it's going to be great. I mean, if you're not using those plugins, and you don't say have, you don't have an iOS environment, so you can just let it build it. And it does work really, really well. Okay, so what are the tools? So I mentioned before about third-party frameworks. Yeah, pretty much everyone has one. You just need to find one that you like. So there's PhoneGap by Adobe and Cordova, which is the open source one that's living at Apache. XDK by Intel. So that guy also provides the shim that runs on multiple platforms, and it also provides a UI toolkit. Icinium by Telerik. So that's the same sort of thing. Aurabase by SyncFusion. There's PhoneJS by DevExpress. There's Ignite UI by Infragistics. There's Titanium, which I've put an asterisk next to because you actually define your interfaces in XML, and then it sort of interprets those XML interfaces into native widgets after you compile it. But you write all your application logic in JavaScript. And I've just realized that one that I've forgotten, of course, is SensureTouch. Okay, so I consider that guy pretty big. Okay, so there's one from every component vendor. So if you have, you know, one that you like, chances are they already have a toolkit that you can look at. Okay. So further watching. If you wanted to learn more about PhoneGap, there's a couple of quite thorough Pluralsight courses on that. So Practical PhoneGap, I think, is by Sean Woldemuth, if I'm saying his name right. But it's quite a good course. It goes through a lot of the steps about setting up the apps, techniques that you can have in your JavaScript to sort of detect if you're running on the web or in a PhoneGap device and things like that. So it's quite good. And this is what we want to fix. Download for your device. So I'll be using PhoneGap, Cordova, HTML5, and all of this crop platform stuff. Okay, I've patched this guy up. This is where we want to end, right? That's what we want. That's the goal. Yeah, it's maybe behind the sticker. I said you can extend, right? So the effort per platform with PhoneGap stuff, you know, hopefully should be less. It should be easier to support new platforms. Okay, so what can we take away from today? Okay, the state of mobile IE10. So it's pretty good, right? It's HTML5. There's a lot of new stuff supported, so there's a lot of capability there. Touch capability, you know, you can drag sticky notes around, like it's very accurate. Web versus native. So, you know, the web technologies versus the native experience, you really can't get, you know, native is the, you know, it's the pinnacle. It's the OS. Cross-platform tools like PhoneGap, Cordova, and Friends. So there's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of different tools out there. You just need to really find the ones that work for you. Cordova is a great tool, so definitely start with that. Things like Bootstrap are going to give you that the scaling, and you know, a lot of the widget frameworks and building and deployment. So now that PhoneGap and Cordova have that command line interface, I mean, I think building and deployment, it becomes, you know, so much easier because it's quite easy to integrate with command line stuff. So if you want Mobi stickies, if you want the source code because you want to make your own sticky note app, you can grab that on GitHub and have a bit more of a play around. So yeah, if you want to have a look at how the HTML5 storage happens, then you can have a look at that. But yeah, there's nothing to it, it's just HTML5. So on Windows Phone 7, there was actually no HTML5 storage implemented on the browser. So the PhoneGap team actually intercepted that event when you called it. So when you jam stuff into the HTML5 storage, they actually piped it out to the native application and stored it in local storage there. When the app started up, they chucked it back in. So yeah, I mean, there's a few changes for the better in Windows Phone 8 because that's just all happens in the browser now. So if you've got a question, you can hit me up on Twitter, @BrettonCotts, or hit me up via email. Okay, so if you've heard about this, it's the devil up. So if you're interested in Windows Phone development, definitely go to this website and sign up so you can compete in challenges. So it's all about encouraging people to develop apps for Windows Phone. Okay, and if you fill out your evaluation, you can win a Skull Mouse. It looks cool. More resources and learning, so everything that's recorded will be on Channel 9 at a later date. And thank you so much for attending. It's really good.